Hare Krishna. Behalf of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we welcome you today. Vande Chaitanya Devam Tam Bhagavantam Yad Ichaya Prasabham Narkyate Chitram Lekarange Jadopyayam. I offer my respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog and suddenly taken to the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although I am a fool. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gora Chandra. Jaya Jaya Paramananda Jaya Nityananda. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gaura Sundara. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto Nityananda Prabhu, who is always very joyful. Jaya Jaya Dvaitacharya Kripamai. Jaya Jaya Gadadhara Pandit Mahashoy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaitacharya, who is very merciful, and also to that great personality, Gadadhar Pandit, the learned scholar. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Yatta Bhaktagan Puranata Hoya Bandon Sabarakshadan. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srivas Thakur and all the other devotees of the Lord. I fall down to offer them respect. I worship their lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami teaches us first to offer respect to the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhara Prabhu, and Srivas Prabhu, and other devotees. We must strictly follow the principle of offering our respects to the Panchatattva, as summarized in the mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. At the beginning of every function and preaching, especially before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We must chant the Panchatattva's names and offer our respects to them. In this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, very honestly openly reveals his heart to all of his readers. Krishna consciousness is about awakening a personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are three levels of realization of the Absolute Truth according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahman realization, which is understanding the all-pervading energy of the Lord. Paramatma realization, the Lord within heart, who is the witness of everything. And Bhagavan, Lila Purushottam, that supreme absolute person who is eternally residing within his abode, performing wonderful pastimes. When the Lord descends into this world, the Gita explains, Yada Yada Hitaramasya Klanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharamasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chatuskritam Dharmasamstapanaradaya Sambhavami Juge Juge Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam iti swarjana. The Lord descends out of his causeless mercy to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the innocent, to annihilate the miscreants. The Lord comes again and again. And one who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and activities never has to take birth in this material world again, but attains his eternal abode. The Lord's incarnations are not just temporary manifestations of the all-pervading Brahman. Rather, the all-pervading Brahman is an emanation of the rays of the body of the Lord. It is the expansion of the divine eternal energy of the Lord. But the avatars who appear in this world have their original bodes beyond the viraja, beyond the limitations of material existence, in the realm of Vaikuntha, within the paravyoma, the spiritual sky. So for a devotee, everything is personal. Even the impersonal Brahman is personal. Even material energy is personal. Because we see everything in relation to the Supreme Person. Even when we see wood, when it is separated from the living tree or stone, it is considered dead matter. But a devotee sees that it is the energy of Krishna. Maybe the external energy, but still. Ishavasyamidam saravam. Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and everything is emanating from him. Even everything in this world. So when we remember Krishna, then everything becomes personalized. This is Krishna's house. This is Krishna's wood. This is Krishna's stone. Personalized. And the so-called impersonal Brahman is the personal Brahman. Because we see it as the light emanating from the beautiful, lustrous body of Krishna. So yes, to the degree we know Krishna, to that degree everything in our life becomes intimately personal in a transcendental way. But that is only possible to the extent we are detached from our personalistic desires for sense gratification. Thakur Narottam Das prays, when will I see Vrindavan? But he wrote the song living in Vrindavan. He's living in Vrindavan. At Radha Damodar Mandir, the site of the Ras Mandala. But he's praying, when will I see Vrindavan? Only when I have no more desires for material enjoyment. Because the egoistic pursuit of selfish pleasures is like a cataract that is covering our pure spiritual vision. The soul is part of Krishna. The soul's nature is to see God, to love God, to serve God. But this false ego, it's not the flesh of the eyes that's the problem. Because factually, if the soul is unfettered by false ego, we can see Krishna even through these eyes. Why not? The soul has great powers. The problem is not the eye. The problem is the soul has been covered since a time immemorial by ahankar, false ego. The subtle most material element. And from that ahankar, we start identifying with material intelligence, the always changing, easily disturbed material mind. And due to an uncontrolled mind, we start identifying with the ether, the air, the water, the fire, the earth, the eight elements. And then we cannot see anything as it is. We see everything in relationship to our selfish desires. We see everything according to our upadis, our material conditionings and attachments. Yes. One person on one side of the border reads, India defeats Pakistan in cricket. Oh, very happy. And on the other side of the border, they're about to commit suicide. Same newspaper, same print, same words. We interpret everything according to our conceptions. We drive down the streets in Bombay, there's a hoarding about a good movie with a good movie actress, with a good producer. I don't know the names of any of them, I'm sorry. Except I know Madhu Mangal. He's my favorite. And some of his friends also. So, some people read it, oh, it's so nice, they're looking at the picture, mesmerized, let's go pay our money to see this cinema. And devotees look away. The driver shouldn't do that. But other people in the car may do that. What is it? It's the same signboard with the same names. But we're seeing it in different ways. Because the whole world, we interpret according to the particular conditioning of our false ego. But when the devotee's eyes, when the devotee's heart becomes pure, then the false ego transforms into the real ego. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. The real ego is to identify as the servant of the Lord.
with love and devotion. And therefore, we see everything in relation to the Lord. We see every situation as an opportunity to serve the Lord. Everything becomes personal.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Mahabhagavat. He's in the highest state of transcendence. But the nature of a real transcendentalist is the higher you go, the lower you feel. Those who are following lesser paths of spiritual life, the higher they go, the more they think they're becoming God. But for one who understands God as he is, the higher you go, the more you feel insignificant in the presence of God. And in that state, the deeper your love is for God. Satchit Ananda. Eternal existence, knowledge, but the culmination of all is Ananda, spiritual happiness, which finds its supreme fulfillment in prema. Lord Chaitanya told that there are four goals described in the Vedas that people strive to achieve. Artha, Kama, Dhamma, Moksha. People want sense gratification. They want a higher standard of living in this world with better enjoyment and more facilities. Or they want to go to higher worlds where they're providing incredibly more opportunities to enjoy. Or they want economic development. Because money, after all, does facilitate a lot of opportunities for material happiness. But when they see the frustrations, the emptiness, and the dead-end street of these two paths, then they want religiosity. They want to do good. They want to be good. They want to be pious. They want to help others. That's the mode of goodness. But even that's limited. So then people want to annihilate all of these misconceptions and moksha, liberation. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes from the Vedic scriptures and the great acharyas that there's something above and beyond moksha. Prema Pumartha Mahan, the fifth goal of all perfections, is prem, ecstatic love. That ecstatic love can only be experienced in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know God, we naturally love God. Why? Because God is Krishna, all attractive. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's writing this literature and he's about to tell us the spirit and mood in which he is writing and why he is writing. But from the very beginning, it is very personalized. He is personally revealing his heart to each and every one of his readers for all time to come. And he's not trying to show us how great he is. He's trying to show us what a fool he is. And those who have a little bit of understanding of transcendental science, it melts our hearts when we see he's calling himself a dancing dog and a fool. We understand what a great person he is. If he called himself a great person, we would understand what a fool he is. So it's a trap when you try to boast your glories in the presence of devotees. Because the more you try to give yourself importance, the more everyone thinks you're a fool.
And the more you present yourself a fool, everyone gives you importance. Of course, if you act like a fool, then everyone will confirm it. We should not act like a fool. We should act according to Krishna's direction, but understand that it is all coming by the power of Krishna. Whatever little good I can do is only by divine mercy, not by my own. There's no other way to cross beyond the miseries of material bondage. There's no other way to really taste the nectar of love of God until we give up this very hard knot of ahankar, false ego. We stop feeding it and nourishing it with the illusion that it will make us happy, because it has just the opposite effect.
Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has said that he's offering his obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog. Now in India, dog is, in America, that would be false ego. That would be false praise to say I'm a dancing dog, because that's a very high, dog has a very high social position in the West. He's usually the favorite member of every family. There's dog beauty contests. Really, it's very common. There's beauty contests amongst dogs. People spend hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands of dollars, getting hair groomings for dogs. Special styles. They cut their beards special ways. Cut their tails. It's fashionable. They have Italian styles and French styles. Really, people make a lot of money. Just like ladies get their hair as dogs. Dogs are very happy. Everyone looks. I've seen some beautiful woman with one very, very fancy, nice dress with dog on the leash. And everyone's saying, your dog looks very good today. The lady's thinking, what about me? Oh, your dog is very beautiful, very nice. Lotus eyes, oh, so nice. But in India, especially 500 years ago, a devotee respects dogs. A devotee respects all living beings. But still, he says, I am your dancing dog, Lord Chaitanya. And you have decided to speak through me, although I am such a great fool. Kaviraj Goswami writes that by remembering the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, even a dumb man can speak eloquent poetry. A lame man who is crippled, who cannot even walk a single step, can climb to the peaks of the highest mountains and cross over mountain ranges. And a blind man who has never seen the light of day his whole life can see the stars in the sky. What is impossible for one who has received the mercy of the Lord? That is reality. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, at the end of his life, he was practically speaking blind. But he was seeing Krishna. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. And people with 20/20 vision who didn't even need spectacles were coming to him for vision. People with eyes were coming to a blind man for vision, because he was seeing reality. And with our eyes, we're only seeing illusion.
He's seeing the source of everything, Krishna, within his own heart. And we're just seeing the mirages and chasing after the pleasures of these mirages, these reflections of non-reality.
Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they appeared within this world at the time of the Kali Yuga to make themselves accessible to everyone. All they asked for is our faith and our willingness to cooperate with the process they have given. And such a simple process. What in the Satya Yuga people had to live severely austere lives in total seclusion for tens and thousands of years in silent meditation. That same result is available in the age of Kali by simply chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Such mercy. Tina hina yata chilo harinam udharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. Even if you are a sinner, even to the extent of Jagai and Madhai, they were murderers and thieves and robbers. They attained the perfection of love of God simply by chanting God's names properly. It is the prime benediction for humanity, the Sankirtan movement. Kalera dosanide raja asti heka mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is a benediction that simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can attain the very perfection of liberation. In fact, Brihadnaradiya Purana emphasizes very strong, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. To achieve love of God in this age of Kali, in the most fully developed state, is only possible through chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. The Lord is so kind. He has appeared within the name. He has appeared as the holy name, with all of his pastimes, all of his associates, all of his energies, all of his power is within the name. And especially his sweetness and his love. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, quoting from the scriptures, tells us that there are 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy names. And if one is infested with offenses against the holy name, then even if that person chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra birth after birth after birth after birth after birth, one will still not experience the awakening of love of God within the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, if a person chants Krishna's holy names and that chanting doesn't cause tears to pour from the eyes, the limbs to tremble, hair standing on end, and voice getting choked up, then it is to be understood that that person has a steel-framed heart if by chanting Krishna's names one's heart does not melt, then one's heart is made of steel. And what causes that steel frame heart? Offenses to the holy names. But how? How to overcome these offenses when we are conditioned since time immemorial to be offensive? We know the offenses. We try to guard against the offenses. But how can we actually do it? Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. All the instructions are there. But then that same Krishna came 4,500 years later in the age of Kali in his most munificent incarnation of Lord Chaitanya to teach us practically. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and all the Acharyas declare that if we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the Panchatattva, then we will be free from offenses. Then when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the heart begins to melt and we free ourselves of offenses. Because Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are so merciful, they do not accept offenses. Therefore, these names, Gaur Nitai, are so powerful in this age of Kali. And the Acharyas have taught that the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all mantras, if we want to chant it properly, first we must take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and his associates to remove our offensive mentality by chanting Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. However, we find in one purport, in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now please listen carefully. The essence of the secret of how to chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is about to be revealed to all of us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is none different than Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan Dham, one must take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by following the simple principle of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. This is why Kaviraj Goswami tells, take the name of Krishna, take this verse on the string of the name of Krishna and wear it always. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibase hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humility like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others without any sense of prestige ourselves. In this way we must chant Krishna's holy names. To take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda is inseparable from following this instruction of humility like the straw in the street and tolerance like a tree. When we do this, then when we approach the holy name of Radha and Krishna through the Maha Mantra, our heart melts. An ecstasy of love begins to awaken within our hearts. That is the secret of success. Without aspiring and making it a priority, to live by this principle of Trinadapi Sunichena. It doesn't matter who you are or what people say about you. The Maha Mantra will always be chanted in a way that is, from our side, superficial. Until we become Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishnana, we have to keep chanting this Maha Mantra birth after birth after birth, because we will still be chanting with offense. This is an essential principle. This is not a detail. And it must be taken very seriously by all. Because in this age of Kali, the holy name is the only way to achieve love of God. If you go to another path, you may get something else, but not love of God. And it's so easy. After explaining in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells how Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Narayani, he supremely mercifully benedicted the whole world with the most beautiful description of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's life and teachings. There are two goals of chanting the holy name. One is to cut our material bondage and give us liberation. And two is the awakening of love of God. The more we understand the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the more we can actually make progress on this path to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Thakur Narottam, he prayed in this way, that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and without that mercy, to approach Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan is very difficult because our hearts are offensive. They remove our offenses. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he has written his Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was at that time known as Chaitanya Mangal. And Kaviraj Goswami, such a humble gentleman, he's not advertising his book. He's advertising Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. Everyone read Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He is the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Just as Srila Veda Vyas had written the Srimad Bhagavatam to glorify the pastimes of Krishna, that same Veda Vyas is incarnated in this world, in this Kali Yuga, as Vrindavan Das Thakur to write Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat for the welfare of all living beings. By simply reading this Chaitanya Bhagavat with an open and faithful heart, it removes our sins and awakens our love of God. Because by reading this wonderful book, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu comes into our lives. And after glorifying with great devotion this Vaishnav, he explains how Vrindavan Das Thakur, as he was writing, his book was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Although he described in great detail the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in their early Leela, he did not write very elaborately about the final pastimes of the Lord after he took sannyas. But in Vrindavan, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was residing, many great devotees, they wanted to hear the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. They wanted a book for the whole world to understand authoritatively
the later pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. Then Kaviraj Goswami continues, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in a forest of kadamba trees, under the desire trees is a golden throne ornamented with the most precious divine jewels. Sitting on that bejeweled throne is Brajendra Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj, in his form of Sri Govinda Dev, who is more beautiful than millions and millions and millions of Cupids or Kandarpas. And he's being worshipped in his temple in Vrindavan with the most devotional paraphernalia, garments, ornaments, and so many other facilities which are all completely transcendental. And in this temple of Radha Govinda Dev in Vrindavan, there are thousands and thousands of servitors who are all worshiping the Lord in pure unalloyed devotion, expecting nothing in return. And all of these servitors, they are of such quality that they cannot be properly glorified even if we had thousands and thousands of mouths. But the chief servitor of Radha Govinda Dev, his name is Haridas Pandit. His name, his fame, and his glories are known throughout all the world amongst devotees. Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Ananta Acharya. Ananta Acharya was a personal disciple and associate of Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. We know at Tota Gopinath Temple, Gadadhar Pandit would every day read Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit was the constant associate of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was a boy, Gadadhar Pandit was his friend, his classmate. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya and manifested his ecstasies of Sri Radharani and began to promote the Sankirtan movement, Gadadhar Pandit was constantly at his side. Sachi Devi, the Lord's mother, requested Gadadhar, always be with my son because you are so intelligent and you have such dear love for him. Always be with him. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit was one of the few people Lord Chaitanya told in advance. He brought him to Katwa to help with the ceremony. Gadadhar Pandit was so dear to the Lord. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, then to South India, when he returned, they announced to the devotees of Bengal, and Gadadhar Pandit came along with Shivananda Sen's party. And when he came, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent almost everyone else back to Bengal after the 4 months of Chaturmasya, but he could not live without Gadadhar Pandit. Lord Chaitanya personally took Gadadhar Pandit to a place near the sea called Yameshwar, Tota. Very ancient deity of Yameshwar Mahadev. And beside that famous temple was an ancient deity known as Tota Gopinath. It is said that Tota Gopinath was worshipped by Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation. In fact, some people believe, and there is evidence in this way, that when Lord Brahma recited Brahma Samhita, he worshipped Tota Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya entrusted that deity to Gadadhar Pandit, who made his worship his life and soul. He never left that deity's service his whole life. He took Kshetra Sannyas, never left Puri. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every day and spend 2 or 3 hours discussing Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Anantacharya was his disciple. He was an ocean of good qualities. He had such deep faith in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His body was always ornamented with ecstatic love of God. In fact, according to Gaur Ganodesh Tipika, Anantacharya in Krishna's Leela was one of the 8 Sakis, Sudevi Gopi. The disciple of Anantacharya was Haridas Pandit, who was so dearly loved by everyone. He was gentle, tolerant, humble, peaceful, magnanimous, very grave, sweet in his words, and sober in all of his endeavors. Haridas Pandit was respectful to everyone, and all of his work was for the benefit of all living beings. Diplomacy, envy, jealousy were unknown to his pure heart. Haridas Pandit accepted only the good qualities in other devotees and never found faults in them. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains from the scripture that every human being has virtues and faults. A real Vaishnav, the quality of that person, is a Vaishnav accepts the glories and good qualities of the person and does not consider or concern him or herself with the faults. Just like a fly is very eager to taste sores, but a honeybee is very eager to taste honey. In the same way, a devotee is always looking for the good qualities in another Vaishnav. And Haridas Pandit, he had this quality called adosha darshi, which means doesn't look for the faults and does not accept the faults, only looks for the good. To the degree we have this quality, we are actually Vaishnavas. This is a foundational quality of a Vaishnava. In a very crude sense, a Vaishnava is one who believes in Vishnu. That is also there. But In our own personal evaluation of ourselves, we are taught that a Vaishnava is a dosha-darshi. One who likes to speak, meditate on, and act in such a way to glorify the good qualities of another, and does not concern ourselves with the faults of others. It is difficult. But Haridas Pandit, he personified these qualities. And Haridas Pandit had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In the temple of Radha Govinda, he arranged for Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat to always be recited and discussed. And when he himself would preach the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he illuminated the entire assembly of devotees, conquered everyone's hearts. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that it was this Haridas Pandit who ordered him to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the head pujari of Radha Govinda Temple, his name was Govinda Goshai. Govinda Goshai was the disciple of Kashishwar Pandit. Kashishwar Pandit was one of the two servants of Lord Chaitanya, Govinda and Kashishwar. Previously, they were the servants of Lord Chaitanya's guru, personal servants, Ishwarapuri. Kashishwar Pandit, one of the greatest, most exalted acharyas. In Krishna's Leela, in Goloka Vrindavan, he is a cowherd boy named Bringara, who is the personal servant of Krishna. And he appeared in this world as Kashishwar Pandit to perform his service. And there was another great devotee who was serving Govinda Dev named Yadavacharya, who was a very dear associate and disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami. And there was a great devotee. His name was Bhugarbha Goswami, best friend of Lokanath Goswami. Came to Vrindavan when practically no one was there in the forest. He was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. All of these devotees and their associates unanimously agreed that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the perfect person to write a book on the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of these devotees, individually and collectively, ordered Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write this book. But he was so much ashamed because he felt, why are they asking me? I am least qualified of everyone. I am a fool. Besides that, at the time, his age was in the 90s. This is going to be a great literature for all time. He was a very old man with many, many physical ailments of old age. And he considered himself so humble. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he reveals his heart. He said, I am most sinful, most low. Lower than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. He says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. This is his heart. So when all these great Vaishnavas are requesting him to write Lord Chaitanya's authorized biography of the later part of his life, he didn't feel proud. He felt ashamed. I am not qualified. I do not deserve it. One of the greatest qualifications of a Vaishnava is their feeling of being disqualified. If you feel qualified, you're disqualified. If you feel disqualified, you're on the path of being qualified. Material life is a perverted reflection of spiritual life. So yes, Kaviraj Goswami was in anxiety about what they were asking him to do. But how do you refuse the word of the Vaishnavas? But he wanted their order to be confirmed by Sri Madan Mohan. So he went to the temple of Madan Mohan, the worshipable deity of Sanatan Goswami. And there, he stood before Madan Mohan, who was being worshipped by the pujari Goshai Das. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offered his prayer and begged for the blessings and permission of Madan Mohan for him to fulfill the order of the Vaishnavas. Just as he was offering his prayer, begging for permission, the garland from Madan Mohan slipped off of his neck into the pujari's hands, and the pujari picked it up and put it around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. All the assembled Vaishnavas and Gosais, when they saw this, they understood exactly Madan Mohan's statement, and they loudly cried out, "Hari Bol!" Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that at that moment he began writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But first, he wanted to get the blessings of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was his predecessor in this field. Vrindavan Das Thakur was not present in Vrindavan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami prayed from the core of his heart for the blessings of Sri Vyasdev, Vrindavan Das Thakur. And within the core of his heart, Vrindavan Das Thakur appeared and gave his permission and blessings. It was then that he began this great literature. Now Srila Prabhupada explains that in Vaishnav life, on the path of the highest truth of devotion, we never consider ourselves to be the doers. Krishna tells us in Gita, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara, that a bewildered soul considers themselves to be the doer of their activities, when all the activities of this world are simply being carried out by nature. If you go to our Dairam Museum upstairs, you will see a very wonderful display of the three modes of material nature. Maya. Maya Devi, the illusory energy, has everyone on the strings of these three modes, like puppets. She's the puppeteer. And she pulls the mode of passion, and we just run to try to fulfill our passionate desires. And she pulls the mode of ignorance, and we run in that way. Now, we have our free will. We can choose by our free will to respond. Now, these pullings are coming due to our previous karmas. Because everything we do, everything we speak, we are influencing ourselves by the mode of nature that is predominating over that. And we become more conditioned by it. Every time we engage in an activity in the mode of passion or lust, we become more subjected to that power. We become more conditioned and bound by that string, by that rope. And we can see this practically. The more you take intoxication, the more you become addicted to intoxication. It becomes a very inseparable part of your identity, your being, and you can't live without it. If you never take intoxications, it's no big deal. But if you're drinking alcohol for 20 years, you go mad without it. It's controlling your life. If people are too much sexually active, then they can't do without it. It's controlling their life. Yes, this is the way the modes of nature work. We make our decisions and we become further bound according to the decision and condition. And Maya is just pulling the strings and she knows which ones are for us. And we just like puppets. The only way to overcome that is by our free will. Sarva dharman paratyasya. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mamevam ye papajyante mayam eta tarantite. It's material nature. It is working by the powers of these three modes, which are very difficult to overcome. But if we take shelter of Krishna and experience that higher taste of Krishna consciousness, then it is possible. Then by Krishna's grace, we can be free from these three modes of material nature. There is no other way. So a devotee is very conscious of this reality. Materialistic people, their idea of being happy is inflating their false egos. I am beautiful. I am wealthy. I am intelligent. I am influential. I am very skillful in whatever I may do. I am the center of my life, and I'm trying to be the center of more and more people's lives. But a devotee wants to put Krishna in the center. And the more you put Krishna in the center, the more you take yourself away from the center. It's really proportionate. The more you keep yourself in the center, Krishna's away. The more you put Krishna in the center, the more you have to go away. And it's really a miserable situation to be in the center, because you can't do it. You can't live up to everyone's expectations, because everyone wants you to be something else. Everyone wants you to be what they want you to be. Material life is not that people accept you for who you are. People accept you for what they want of you. Yes, that's material life. So what kind of friendship is that? What kind of love is that? Love is selfless. To the degree there's no ego, to their degree it's selfless, there's love. So yes, ahankar, false ego, is a very, very powerful force that keeps us in this world. But a devotee understands that whatever I can do, it's only by the mercy and blessings of Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, I'm nothing. Even if I'm skillful, if we don't have the blessings of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then whatever great things we can do, we're being empowered by material energy. But when we're humble, when we're actually humble, and we take the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas and just try to be their instrument, then we can become empowered by the spiritual energy of the Lord. Just because we put on tilak and shave our heads or wear saris or wear neck beads, that in itself doesn't put us under the control of the spiritual energy. It is our attitude. If we want to put ourselves in the centers, if we're not working with the blessings, the permission, and the love of the Lord and his devotees, then material nature is empowering us. Krishna through material nature. But to be instruments of mercy means Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Basi Hishnana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's professing very loudly, I'm a fool. I'm a dog. I'm suffering from the material disease of attachments. I'm suffering from boils due to envy. In this condition, I'm taking shelter of the great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how wonderful! Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in this chapter is saying, I am not writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. By the blessings of all the Vaishnavas who I worship and honor as my gurus, by their mercy, Madan Mohan is speaking through me. He is the offer. I am just a puppet, a wooden puppet, dancing according to his desire. And he's giving all credit that Madan Mohan is using him as this type of puppet. He's giving all that credit to the devotees. Because he's following their order. And he has received their blessings. There is nothing more sacred and glorious than the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Because it's the only means by which we can be empowered by Krishna. Thakur Narottam prayed, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichikeva. That who, where, has anyone ever become a real devotee and pleased Krishna without serving the great Vaishnavas? That is the secret of success. To be an instrument. That was Srila Prabhupada's concluding prayer on Jaladuta. I am not qualified to do this, my Lord. You're sending me to a strange country without any facilities, and I don't even know if they'll understand my language. Only if you speak through me, and only if you in their heart give them the power to understand, can your message be transmitted. Let me just be your puppet and make me dance as you want me to dance, my Lord. Make me dance. That is love. Love is based on selfless service. To the degree our service is selfless, without our own agenda, without our interior selfish motivations, to that degree we can find spiritual satisfaction in our hearts. To the degree we're selfish, to the degree we're motivated, our service is contaminated by material consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam deals with only one subject. Savai pung shang paro dharamo yato bhakti radhoksha jay ahoitaki aprati hata yagatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to satisfy the heart. Ahoitaki apratihata. This is Lord Chaitanya's message.
from beginning to the end of our whole sampradaya, it's only about this. Ahoita ki apratihata. Bhakti without motivation, selfishly, or interruption. Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered. He doesn't just see what you do, he sees the purpose. Are we doing it for his pleasure, or are we doing it for our own pleasure? To the degree we do anything for our own pleasure, we suffer. And to the degree we do it for Krishna, without our own pleasure considered, we enjoy. This is another one of those contradictions we have been speaking about. It's a wonderful thing. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes from Srimad Bhagavatam the nature of the gopis. They have no desire ever for themselves. Their only desire is to make Krishna happy. And to the degree we make Krishna happy, to that degree Krishna reciprocates and makes us happy. But we don't want that happiness. We only want Krishna's happiness. But Krishna reciprocates and gives us happiness. That is the spiritual world. Therefore, Mahaprabhu prayed, Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja kadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvayi. I do not want wealth. I do not want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I do not want fame and prestige. I do not even want liberation from suffering. My prayer, my Lord, is that I may be your unconditional servant birth after birth after birth. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavambudo. Kripayata vapada panka jastita duli sadrisam vichintaya. O Nanda Tanuja, son of Nanda Maharaj, I surrender to you. I am your servant under all conditions. I'm praying, just let me be just a single atomic speck of dust at your lotus feet, and I'll be happy forever. He doesn't want to be God. He doesn't want mystic powers. He doesn't want fame and prestige. He just wants to be one out of those billions and trillions of particles of dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. That consciousness gives Krishna so much pleasure. Ashlisya vapadaratam panashtuma madarshana marmahatam kurotu va yatadatata vidatatu lantpato matpurana natastu se eva naparaha. This is the culmination of the ultimate perfection of life, which is unconditional selfless service. We all want to be recognized or embraced by the person who we adore. Lord Chaitanya says to Krishna in the mood of the gopis, my dear Lord, if you want, you may embrace me. Or if you like, you may trample upon me. And if it pleases you, my Lord, you may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You have every way to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. How many are happy being totally ignored and neglected by the person we're giving our life and our soul to? Can you imagine?
We're giving everything, our whole life force, our every minute to satisfy someone, and they totally neglect us. Don't even show that we exist. Is that painful? When Krishna left Vrindavan, that's the way the gopis felt. He left them. Does he ever think about us? Does he ever? Of course he doesn't remember us. Now he's in Mathura. So many high-class people are there. Why will he think of us? We gave our lives to him and he left. That was their mood. Or trample. Or embrace. Whatever pleases you, Krishna, that is my happiness. That is my life. Who is Srimati Radharani? Kaviraj Goswami explains that Srimati Radharani, she's willing to go through any type of heartbreak, even to bring somebody else for Krishna to be with, if it pleases him. Her concern is never herself, it's only Krishna. And that is the state in which Krishna reciprocates in manifests himself, sometimes in Vipralamba, sometimes in Sambhoga, but in either case, he gives us the greatest spiritual happiness. So sometimes on the path of bhakti, we hear this philosophy, but it doesn't really sink in because we're still so selfishly motivated. We're still thinking of myself. Now, of course, just to survive, we have to think of ourselves to some extent. If we have families, we have to think about earning a living and all of that. But we have to be very careful to cultivate the motivation of unconditional service to the Lord. Real devotional service means expecting nothing in return. That is bhakti. Kapila Dev describes as bhakti in the mode of ignorance, passion, goodness, and transcendental. Lord Chaitanya kicked out everything except transcendental. Daivi Varnashram may be to elevate different people, but ultimately Lord Chaitanya, nadanam najanam nasundarim. I only want to please you, Krishna. That must be our aspiration. And that's why we come to this temple. We come to this temple to learn the process of selfless service. The other night, I was telling some of our devotees about our recent trip to Amritsar. And Guru Charan Prabhu and Raghunath Prabhu, they took us on a visit to the Golden Temple, also known as Hare Mandir. It's a beautiful temple. It's actually quite unbelievable, the gold and the jewels and everything. When I saw that temple, I was thinking Radha Gopinath Temple is very, very simple place. It's very simple. It's like a straw hut compared to the Golden Temple. And where is all that gold coming from? All the devotees there, they just donated their bangles and their watches and their earrings and their nose rings and whatever else they had. And so much, they just pounded it all into gold and melted it. Hare Krishna. An amazing thing. It's a huge area. You know, the temple is in the middle of a lake. The lake is crystal clear. You can even see fish way out in the middle because the water is so clean. But it's not clean automatically. At all times, there's people with nets just cleaning the water, constantly, day and night. And this big area around the lake,
It's all marble and stone. Immaculately clean. This big area. I don't think we ever walked more than 20 feet without somebody sweeping and somebody washing. And as far as prasad, there's so many people.
How they cook prasad?
They have prasad distribution
24 hours a day, as much as you can eat. Hare Krishna. Chapati and dal and sabjis. Yes?
For everyone, without discrimination, anyone just comes in. It's open 24 hours around the clock. Free. And they had about 75 people rolling chapatis. But that wasn't enough. They have a chapati machine. This is the machine of all machines. I have seen many machines, but this is the first machine that really touched my heart. It's amazing. It's a whole room, this machine. And you just take some dough and throw it down, and then the machine does everything else. It cuts, it kneads the dough, it cuts the dough, it rolls it into a perfect thing, and then it goes into this, like a big tunnel with flames in it, and the rotis, after being thoroughly rolled perfectly, they're going down this conveyor belt, and they go, whoosh, everyone puffs up perfectly. This roti machine cooks no less than 6,000 chapatis per hour. Hare Krishna. Very nice. And stacks them too. So I was very happy. This is technology, and very nice technology. No pollution, just prasadam. And they're serving. So many people are serving. So many people who are coming and keeping clean. And there's shoe stall. It's like we have our shoe stall. They have so many people at the shoe stall. Multimillionaires from Toronto sitting next to peasant villagers of Punjab. Just sitting, just doing menial service of just with their hands, just taking people's shoes. But not only take it, but you give them their shoes and they polish it. They wash it and polish it from below and beneath, yes? Whether you have leather shoes or whether you have plastic sandals, and when you come back for your shoes, they give it to you very reverentially and humbly and give you nice, clean shoes. And there's people leading kirtans. It's 24 hours a day. What did he say? Huh? 13 hours. 20 hours a day they have kirtan, nonstop. Three people each time, 2 hour shifts. And there's never a gap. 20 hours of kirtan a day, three people each, chanting. And hundreds of people just cleaning, everywhere you go. I can tell you, anywhere you go in that complex, if you throw anything on the ground, within 2 minutes it's going to be picked up. No question. And washed. But what impressed me the most is not a single person gets paid one paisa. It's all voluntary. All voluntary. It's all selfless. People come, and amongst the Gurudwarams, this is the basic policy throughout the world. But especially the Golden Temple. People from all over the world come, and they come especially to do selfless service. They come to do service without anything material in return.
That's the greatest honor and fortune. They come to the temple not to enjoy, but to serve. They come thousands of miles to do menial service. They'll come and all day, every day for a month, besides, you know, doing chanting and reading from their scriptures, they're all day just sweeping and washing and cleaning shoes. I was inspired. I was thinking, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, took this principle of selfless service and developed it to the highest, most perfect level of perfection. Now, even in this world, to the degree our service to another is a hoitakiya pratihata, without motivation and interrupted, it's satisfying to be love. Lust means we have our own personal pleasure in interest. Love means selfless, the soul's service to God. Srila Prabhupada explained, the closest thing to pure love in this world is the love of a mother for their baby child. Because what does the mother get from the baby child? Sometimes I happen to see the baby. What does the mother get from the baby child? Kicked in the face. How many mothers have been kicked in the face by their child? Every mother, yes? I don't remember kicking my mother's face, but I know I did. It's the tradition of all babies. Kicked in the face, crying. Babies love to cry. I don't know if they love to cry, but they cry anyway. And how they cry. Sometimes all night long. And a loving mother, I mean, there's useless mothers too, who just, you know, just lock the door, just let it cry. But a loving mother will be there, stop crying, please. Ah, please, please. Just giving everything. Ah. Service. And what else does the baby give the mother? Stool. Baby's passing stool all the time and passing urine all the time, and the mother has to change. Loving mother does it herself. They're changing, touching, smelling. That's all the baby gives. Every now and then the baby will smile like this. But even when they smile, the mother has to give so much to get the baby to smile. So a mother's selfless service to the child, getting nothing in return. The mother's happiness is seeing the child happy. Nothing else. If the child is happy and protected, that is the mother's satisfaction. Not what the child's giving to me. But if the child, and that's love. My happiness is the object of my love's happiness. If this child is blissful and smiling with eyes tinkling, going, mama, mama, then I'm happy. Because the child's happy. Selfless. But when that selfless attitude of service is directed toward God, then it becomes transcendental. It enters into the spiritual platform. And that is the perfection of life. Unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took this principle and developed it to the highest spiritual perfection. The love of the gopis in Vrindavan. The most perfect, complete spiritual love. And he taught all of his followers how to follow in the footsteps of the Braja gopis. how much are we really following? We may have to earn a living outside. Now, brahmacharis, they should simply be sold out. Nothing in return, just let me serve. In previous ages, if the guru didn't throw a chapati to the disciple would fast. Nowadays, gurus aren't so good at throwing chapatis, so they just have them have certain times to eat prasad. But that's the principle. The principle has to be applied according to time, place, and circumstance. The brahmacharis are simply for the service of guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna. Where there's nothing else in my life. Now, grihastas, they have husbands, they have wives, they may have children. And then if you have husband and wives and children, then you have to have a place to live. And then you have to have food, and then you have to pay medical expenses, and you may have to pay for educational expenses, and to do all that, you have to work. So many considerations that cannot be avoided. But as far as possible, we should always be praying for and searching with great enthusiasm for the opportunities of selfless service without asking anything in return. Srila Prabhupada was an example. He taught his little son Abai in this way. He would be out working. He was a cloth merchant. But what type of selfless service he rendered? He loved his child. He wanted Abai to get the impression of loving God from his earliest childhood and throughout his life. That's love. Every single morning, Abai, little boy, he would wake up to the aarti bell. And he would see his father offering aarti and his mother singing. They would both be singing kirtan together to the deities of Radha Govinda. Every morning. That's how he woke up. He saw his mother and father chanting japa, performing aarti for the deities, making offerings of bhoga to the deities. That was his impression. He didn't wake up seeing his family watching television or reading newspapers. He didn't wake up seeing his family, just drinking a cup of coffee and running off to work. He woke up seeing his family performing the puja and the seva of the Lord every day. Aarti, kirtan, japa. And then father went to work. That's part of life. In grihastha ashram, you have to go to work, and he worked hard. But then when he came home, what did he do? He and his wife would cook wonderful preparations, and they would invite sadhus. Every night, they invited sadhus. And they serve the sadhus. And what do sadhus give you in return? Sometimes they give you a hard time. Sadhu, they were just serving. Nothing material coming back. And the only thing Gaur Mohan Day ever asked of those sadhus was, bless my son that he will become a pure, loving devotee of Srimati Radharani. It's the only thing he asked in return. That is selfless service. So you see, Srila Prabhupada taught us in this way. A grihastha may have to work, but as much of their life as possible should be selfless service, without desire for prestige, without desire for fame, without desire for promotion or benefits of this world. Simply the desire to satisfy Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. Haridas Pandit, that was his special feature. His life and soul was simply to satisfy the Vaishnavas. So when we come to temple, if we really want to get most benefit,
We should come to the temple to render menial, selfless service. Then we really access divine mercy.
We are not sectarian. In this sense of the golden temple, we can take gold from a golden place.
What I saw there is very much in action on a certain level what we should be doing.
Not I will do this, but what will I get from it?
But I will do this because I will get purified through the process. There's nothing greater than purification.
I will do this because it gives satisfaction to Krishna. It gives satisfaction to Krishna when we please his devotees.
In fact, Krishna does not accept anything except unconditional love. That is why, unless we have unconditional love, we must serve Krishna through our spiritual masters and through the Vaishnavas, through parampara. Because by their blessings, by their mercy, by their orders, Krishna will accept the service that we're rendering, even though it is not perfect. But it pleases Krishna to that extent. This is the essence of real religion. Selfless love. It is the essence of every great spiritual path, to love God. And the Srimad Bhagavatam culture has given the most full, rich, and complete comprehension of love of God. In the intimate rasas of Vrindavan, Santa Ras, Dasi Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. But we can't imitate. We cannot enter into any of these spiritual rasas until in this world we learn the spirit of selfless service to the Lord. And what a wonderful, all-attractive temple all of our temples would be if people in the temple and people of the whole congregation were just coming as much as possible just to render service with nothing expected except the blessings of Guru and the Vaishnavas. How beautiful life would be. How happy, how ecstatically happy Krishna consciousness life would be if we could all strive for that mood.
Selfless service automatically means no politics, no envy, no diplomacy. We're all trying to push each other up and stay down. Huh? Let everyone else be glorified and let me serve them. That's the spiritual world. Unless we develop that attitude in this world, we are not fit to go back to Godhead. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it so clear and precise. Trinadapi sunichena, taror ibasi hishnina, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Ready to offer all respect to others, expect none in return. And in this spirit to chant Krishna's holy names. And when we live by this principle, then we can go to the next stage. Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaya. You can't jump. You can't jump over Trinadapi sunichena and go to na danam, na janam. As we realize Trinadapi Sudichena, we can enter into unmotivated service to the Lord. And then, from that point of total humility and unmotivated service, then the ecstatic symptoms of love of God begin to manifest within our hearts and on our bodies as well. It is in this spirit that we want to cultivate, taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and then approaching Sri Vrindavan Dham as we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Now, with your permission, we will perform Harinam Sankirtan.